Well, Charlie was showing us how God led Israel out of Egypt, taking them to the promised land, but they kept looking back. Through all the hardships, rather than trusting in God, they were looking back. Let's go back to Egypt. But in the new covenant, God is telling us not only to come out of Egypt, but to come out of sin, but to come out of this world. Come out of this world. How can we do that? What does this mean? Why do we need to do it? And how can we do it? So those are the three aspects we're going to learn about today or review. What does it mean to come out of this world? Why do we need to do it? And probably most importantly, how can we do that? How can we do that? If you turn to John 17, verse 11, please. We have to come out of this world. I don't know. Sounds puzzling. John 17. John 17, verse 11. Christ says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world," referring to his disciples, "and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one." So he says, "I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you to keep them." So Jesus says he's not in this world, but his disciples are. If you go to verse 14, "I have given them your word," referring to his disciples, "and the world has hated them because they are not of the world." "Just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." And we know who that is, Satan the devil, who is the ruler of this world. "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So Christ says the disciples are not of this world. He doesn't say, he doesn't want God to take them out of this world, but to keep them from the evil one. And verse 20, "I do not pray for these alone," his disciples, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word." And that's all of us here. Those that will believe on Jesus through their word, through the Bible, through the word of God. So this applies to us also, that we are to come out of this world. And we're sanctified by God's truth, his word, his word. And that's going to be a key to come out of this world, to follow God and to read his word and to follow his word and to develop his mind through his Holy Spirit. We're going to see that coming out of this world, what is it? It's really a mindset. It's really a mindset. It's really talking about we have to change our way of thinking. And we do that through the Holy Spirit. And we start to bear the fruits of the Spirit. We start to love as Christ loved us. And this is how we come out of this world, through the fruit of the Spirit, as I said before, through kindness, through gentleness, meekness, through long-suffering, self-control, faith. And now, why? Why is Christ telling us to come out of this world and its ways? What's wrong with this world? I'm sure many people today would say, "I love this world. I love the ways of this world." But we as God's people are to come out of this world. And let's find out why. Why? James 4 and verse 4. James 4. James 4 and verse 4. James writes, Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And the word enmity is the word in the Concordance 2189, in the Greek Concordance. And enmity means hostility, hatred. So, do you not know that friendship with the world is hatred with God, is hostility with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow. So, James is telling us that we can't be a friend of the world and be a Christian because we become the enemy of God. Well, why? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, please. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And verse 3. Paul writes, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded." Satan is the God of this age. And he has blinded the minds of most of the people in this world. "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So Satan is the God of this world. And we were blinded at one time. We were going along the wrong path. We were engaged in this world's culture, this world's activities, and we had to come out of it. We had to come out of it. And it starts with repentance. And then it starts with believing. Remember that it's God the Father that calls us, but we have to respond. You know, if I'm walking and I see somebody, I see Harriet, I say, "Harriet, come here." And she doesn't come. She just keeps walking. Well, she didn't respond. And so, just like God is calling you, and you don't respond, well, then, you know, you're not going to be able to come to God. So, it says the God of this age has blinded us. You know, we have it's like you have a veil over your eyes, over your mind, a veil over your mind, and where the things of God just don't register. You know, you're embarrassed by it. You just don't believe it. And I got better things to do. You know, because you're in the world. You're in the world with two feet, and God is saying we have to come out of this world. But in order to do that, we have to do that through our minds. We have to develop the mind of Jesus Christ. If we talk to, if we go to Matthew 13, verse 22, we can't think like the world. Matthew 13 and verse 22. You know, the world is perfectly fine, a majority of people with same-sex marriage, and, you know, majority is perfectly fine with abortions. And, you know, our minds have to be based on God's will and God's teachings, which are in His Word, and which also, when we receive His Holy Spirit, convicts us of what is right and what isn't right. Matthew 13, verse 22. Christ says, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So even though God is calling many, few are chosen, few respond, because it seems like many are choked by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. So they hear the word, The seed is the word of God. They hear the word of God. The seed wants to be planted in them, in their hearts and minds. And but yet, it doesn't germinate because they are they become unfruitful, as it says, because of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. They don't want to come out of this world. They don't want to. They want to pursue riches, and if they have riches, they don't want to give it away. And so we see that the world will choke the word. It will choke the word if we have our minds in this world. If you go to 1 John 2 and verse 15, 1 John 2, 1 John 2 and verse 15, John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." These are very strong words. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You know, how many people have lost their jobs because of the Sabbath and the holy days? You know, because they refuse to go for riches and wealth and thinking about the cares of this world. They trusted in God. They trusted in God. And so, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," all that is in the world, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." So the world's all about get. What can I get? You know, like the rich man in the Bible. "Oh, I need new barns. I got to build new barns. I got so much. I got to store my riches." And so we have to be careful, because the world is all about the lust of the flesh. Get. How can I, you know, how can I get my sexually fulfilled? How can I be happy? The lust of the eyes. What can I get at whose ever expense? And the pride of life, you know, pride of life. You can't be prideful and be a child of God. Pride, God hates pride. He hates a haughty look. A haughty look is, you know, when somebody's full of pride, they get that look, you know, like, you know, I'm it, you know, don't try to disagree with me. I know what it's all about. And they're not teachable. They're not teachable. So we have to be humble, as Christ taught us. So this is not of the Father, but of the world. And who is the ruler of this world? Well, if you said God, no. Because God has allowed Satan to be the ruler of this world. He is the ruler of this world. God allows it, because Satan can't do anything that God doesn't permit. But he's the ruler of this world. Now, Christ has, through his sacrifice, has become the new ruler of this world at his second coming. But right now, Satan is the ruler of this world. That's why the world's a mess. Well, you think God is, and some people say, well, God is losing, you know, if Satan's ruling this world, and then God, you know, it seems like God is losing, Satan's more powerful. That's why you have some of these Satan worshipers, you know, they look at Satan as the angel of light, you know, he's the angel of light and knowledge, you know, and look at the world, he seems to be winning, you know, but they don't understand, you know, the Bible, the Adam and Eve, and sin and death coming into the world, and the second Adam, through his sacrifice, conquering sin and death. Because the whole world's afraid of death, isn't it? The whole world's afraid of dying. But that's the great equalizer. No matter if you're a president of the United States or a janitor, you know, you're all going to die. And so people are afraid of that. And so do not love the things of the world. Do not love the things of the world. 1 John 2, let's see. I lost my place, let's see. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So you know that this world is temporary. The reality is the kingdom of God. So whatever you're, you know, if you're in this world and you're going after riches and so forth, you can't take it with you. And you know, we're here for a short lifespan, 70, 80 years, maybe 100. Seems like a lot of people, if they do get old, they usually don't go past 93. That's my observation. It's not scientific or anything. And those that go past 93 I guess that's a blessing. It may not be. I don't know. We go to Matthew 6 and verse 24. Matthew 6 and verse 24. Christ says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And mammon is money, riches. You can't serve God, and you can't serve mammon of the world, because the world's all about acquiring wealth. You know, get that new house, new car, get money, you know, so we could go on vacations and you know, everything that we could get to make our lives better in this world. But God says you cannot serve God and mammon. If your mind's on riches, if your mind's on, and God tells you that, you know, he's going to provide for your needs. He's going to bless you. If you're obeying him, he might give you riches. But the point is, we have to be content. We have to be content with our position in this world, our state of being in this world. We have to be content. And, of course, that doesn't mean that, you know, if you're in need, that you have to stay in that way. But, you know, I find out myself, you know, I'm content with what God has given me, and he's given me abundance. He's given me more than I know what to do with, really. And but the thing is that we have to be content. And we can be content if we're not lusting. If we're not lusting, we can be content. So we can't serve God and mammon. And John 15 and verse 18. John 15. And verse 18, Christ says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." So Christ, and he says in other places, that the world hates us. You say, "Well, the world doesn't hate me." Oh, try speaking about Jesus Christ. Start talking about Jesus Christ and salvation. See how fast people hate you. And start talking about God's Word and what God's Word says about gay marriage and about abortion. And not only will they'll hate you so much that they'll try to get you fired from your job. They'll try to ruin your reputation. They'll try to hurt you in any way. If you are not going with the politically correct culture. So the world hates you. Verse 19. "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So he's saying, if we were of the world would love us. If we were of the world, if we were doing the things the world does, if we were loving the things the world does, if we were acting the way the world does, we'd fit right in, and the world would love us. But we have to serve God, and so the world is going to hate us. I think I heard a statistic on the news this morning or yesterday, I think I'm quoting it right, of Christians, only 25% actually go to church on a weekly basis, about 25% of Christians. So that's very bad. And they were saying in Europe, it's like, forget it. Europe is like Christianity is almost not functioning at all. People aren't going to church. It's more of a secular countries in Europe. So the world is a threat. Is a threat to us. But we know that we are ambassadors for Christ. So we live in the world, but we are not of the world. We are actually representatives of the kingdom of God. If you're an ambassador, you're here, but you don't represent. You represent the kingdom of God. So you're an ambassador here in the world, but you represent the kingdom of God. So we see how that what it means to come out of this world has to do with its mindset and its ways. We can't physically come out of this world. Like we can't physically come out of the world like Israel came out of Egypt. And we saw why we have to come out of this world. We saw what is wrong with this world. Satan is the ruler of this world. Now how? How do we come out of this world? How? We see Romans 2. Romans 2, verse 2. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such. Is that the one I want? All right, I have the wrong scripture there, but the scripture I was looking for that I had should be reading to you, it has to do with renewing of your mind. God tells us we have to renew our mind if we want to come out of this world. And you know, when you're baptized, the old man dies symbolically, and you come up out of the water, and you're a new person in Jesus Christ symbolically. And then when you receive the Holy Spirit, you start to develop godly character through the fruit of the Spirit, and you start to renew your mind with the help of the Holy Spirit. You renew your mind when you're reading God's Word, when you're praying to God, when you're studying, when you're in your actions, and you're putting out sin, and you're putting out sin. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So again, as I was saying before, one way to come out of this world is to be content with what you have, because it's lust. It's lust that's going to lead us into sin. You know, you have a wife or a husband, be content. Even with flaws and not perfect marriage, but be content and pray to God to improve any flaws in the marriage, or any, and to make it a stronger marriage, a happier marriage. Be content with what you have. You know, don't go into debt. You know, you have a car, and be content as long as it's running. You know, you don't have to go into debt and buy a new car to impress people or whatever necessarily. Be content with what you have. You know, you have an apartment and maybe you want to buy a house, but you know, it's just not feasible. Well, be content with what you have, and God blesses you, then maybe you'll have opportunity to buy that house, but don't worship the idea of buying a house. Be content with what you have. Titus 2 and verse 11. Titus 2. Titus 2 and Don't covet, right? Don't covet. Don't covet what your neighbor has. Don't lust after what your neighbor has. Titus 2 and verse 11. Titus is right after 2 Timothy. So, Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. And that has nothing to do with drinking. Soberly means to be vigilant, to be aware of what's going on around you, to be able to discern between good and evil, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we have to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And we do that by living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And we do that through the help of the Holy Spirit and in changing our mind. It's all in the about the mind. The mind is what will prompt you to lust, to sin. And we have to have right thoughts. Right thoughts will lead to right actions. And when we have those wrong thoughts, we have to put them out of our mind right away. Right away. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Do you know the Holy Spirit teaches us? You really can't understand the Bible in a spiritual way unless you have the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will teach us the deep things of God as we're reading the Bible, and as we read it over and over again, we get a deeper understanding of God's word. Things that we didn't realize before now pop out. God puts it in our mind. It gives us understanding of it. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, when you're speaking to someone at work, a friend or whatever, and then they're just not getting it, you know, and you're talking to them about salvation, about Christ, and they're just not getting it, you know, don't get mad at the person. It's just that they're not being called at this time. And if they have a carnal nature, a natural man's nature that we all have, but if they don't have the Holy Spirit, they're not going to really understand. And it's, you know, they're going to think that you're a fool, you're foolish. How can you believe these things? So they can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. You think about your life before God called you and somebody started to speak to you about the Bible or something in the Bible. I mean, you know, they might tell you a story out of the Bible, like David and Goliath. Oh, yeah, okay. But, they're not going to get the what God wants you to get out of the Bible in terms of how to live and how to, about repentance and believing on Jesus Christ as your Savior and wanting to serve God. Wanting to serve God. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. Paul writes, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. You know, sexual sins are the most prevalent in our society today. Every day, every few days, we're hearing about, you know, somebody in the news who's prominent that's accused of something sexual in nature. And it's just, you know, in the world, it's just prevalent, you know, sexual sins. And verse 10, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. So he's telling them not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet he realizes that these are the type of people that are in the world, covetous people also, extortioners, idolaters. He says, you know, they're in the world, you can't avoid them. Because then you would have to go out of the world. But he knows we have to, how can you go out of the world? I mean, you know, you're dead, I guess you're out of the world. But we live in this world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. So anyone in the church who is conducting themselves in an immoral manner, who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Now, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? So we're not to keep company with sexually immoral brethren. And also people in the world, obviously, if we have a neighbor or a friend that's like this, you know, the best thing to do is not to continue that friendship. Because you don't want to be tempted. And not only that, you know, your reputation could be tarnished. You know, if you're running around with people who are known to be immoral, and you're with them, you know, people are going to think that you're immoral. Remember, we're supposed to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, unspotted, you know, that nobody could say anything about us, that they could only say good things about us, that we glorify God. Matthew, just a few more scriptures, Matthew 6 and verse 19, Matthew 6, in verse 19, Christ says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, it goes back to the idea you can't serve God and mammon. You know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. If your treasure is in riches, that's where your heart is. If your treasure is in the kingdom of God, that's where your heart will be, in serving God. And 1 John, and these are ways that we transform our minds. But we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. That is how we're going to overcome. Well, Jesus has already overcome the world, as we see. In verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So, if we're born of God, we might say born again, we overcome the world through our faith. Through our faith. Because when we have faith, we're walking the walk. We're genuine. We're loving others as Christ loved us. We have the characteristics of Jesus Christ. And that's how we overcome the world. Because we are going to be rewarded when Jesus Christ returns. He's going to give us responsibilities in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. As we teach others about God's way of life. And we overcome the world through Jesus Christ. But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, that's how we overcome this world. So we are not of this world, but we must live in this world as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, to put away Satan and establish the kingdom of God in righteousness and peace. Let's renew our minds with the Holy Spirit and come out of this world. And in the last scripture, Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's how we're going to come out of this world.